Second service of 2017. If you were not with us last weekend, or I have not seen you since the new year, happy new year, and great to be together today. 25 years ago, when I was a freshman, I guess it's more than 25 years ago now, oh my gosh. Do the math. I can't even count that high. How many years ago was that? 28 years ago. When I was a freshman in college at Purdue University, a campus minister, I'll just name him Jeff, that's his real name, I won't give you his full name, but his name's Jeff, working for a Christian organization, interdenomination Christian student organization on campus at Purdue University, was randomly reaching out to freshmen in the dorm that I lived to. I lived in the largest dorm on campus, actually looking, tried to contact my roommate who had moved out, and ended up talking with me. And in the midst of that, he set up an appointment to talk with me and went through and explained the gospel to me in the first time in which I really, truly, fully grasped what the gospel was and the implications of my need for Christ. And in my dorm room that February of 1989, the second semester of my freshman year, I feel that that's the day that I truly, with God's revelation, came to know who he was and entered into a relationship with God by his grace. That day, I responded to God's love and forgiveness, and God became my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jeff Burson continued to meet with me. It's okay. Quite thankful for him. He would be quite fine with that. And continued to meet with me, started to teach me about this book, and started to encourage me to read this, gave me probably my first Bible ever, and started to invite me to his small group Bible study that he was leading with some other students in my dorm. And really, over the years, just started to really help me understand and grow in my new relationship with God. Now, along the way through my college years and so much so since, including to the present day, I have people who continue to mentor me, continue to teach me, continue to help me. And whether they have been other pastors, whether they have been friends, whether they have been seminary professors, over the years who have continued to help me grow and develop in my relationship with God. And it's been a process. It's all been a process of growth, and I'm still in that process, and I still have a long way to go. And why am I beginning this message, sharing this with you today? Well, the first thing I am saying is that my life has undergone that process and is still undergoing that process. That's the first thing that I want you to get, is that February of 1989 was not the beginning and sort of the end. Like, done. You've prayed. You believe, and you're good. You know, very much the opposite. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I made a commitment. I understand. I grasp. I want to believe, but it was like I'm in the pool, but I don't know how to swim. I mean, I'm learning. You know, it was a process, and it still is. And spiritual transformation, as we're going to see this morning, really is indeed that. And it's something that is continuing to happen as I'm growing in my character and my conduct and my entire perspective and purpose of my life and my understanding of who God is and what it means to follow him. What I'm also saying, and another reason I'm sharing this with you, is that something very essential to the process of transformation that has taken place and that is taking place in my life has been the people that God has placed in my life. Let me say that again. It has been the people that God has placed in my life. I do not believe I would have grown without the people God has placed in my life. And yes, there's a certain degree to which I could grow if I was alone on a mountaintop with this book. There's a degree to which I would grow, but not nearly as much as being in relationship with people. My growth, my translation has not occurred in isolation, but has and continues to occur in the context of loving relationships. The overwhelming majority of what I've learned and how I've grown has come from the people God has placed in my life who have helped me understand God, his word, and what it means to live as a Christian and to do ministry. And that continues to be the case. It continues to be the case. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is what God says about this process of transformation that God wants to do in your life and in mine. Not only that, I want to talk to you today about how you can have an opportunity this very morning to more fully enter into that process of transformation, to more fully commit yourself to that process of transformation. And potentially, by God's grace, your life will never be the same. We have just recently begun 2017, and many people with the new year very appropriately set new goals, think about their lives. And of course, we talked a lot about that last week, right? I gave you 17 things to think about and go for in 2017. And I hope you're seeking, with God's help, to go for those things in 2017. With that, and I think this is a great follow-up to that, is how will you go for those things, and what will help you? What's the vision and that sort of thing? And taking a look at the areas of our lives and seeking to improve upon them is great. But wouldn't it be even more beneficial and even more important for us to be growing in our character, our conduct, and our spiritual transformation with God? Absolutely, I would say so. And so that we would focus comprehensively and completely on the goal that God has for transformation of our lives. It can happen. And it happens as a result of our relationship with God and as directly connected to the relationships God has given us with other people. So let's talk this morning about why transformation is so important. And let's talk this morning about how transformation can take place in your life in 2017 and beyond. Before we do, please join me in prayer. God, we recognize that apart from you, we can do nothing. And unless we abide in you and you abide in us, we can do nothing. And so we come and we ask that our faith would not be dependent on anything but you, and that the work that is happening, and we pray will continue to happen to a greater degree in our lives in 2017 and beyond, would be because of you and because of the people that you put in our lives. So God, have your way with us today and beyond. Let us be open to what you have in store, and may you do a great work for your great glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned in our message last Sunday here at the stream, what I'm about to share with you this morning is directly related to our entire philosophy of ministry at the stream. And our entire philosophy of ministry at the stream relates to the spiritual process of transformation. Put differently, what I'm sharing this morning is essentially what we feel that God has primarily called us to do as a church. And I'm not talking about a program, I'm talking about a process. A spiritual growth process. It is directly related to our purpose, to our mission, to our vision. And so let's begin this morning by a reminder of what that is. You see it on our slides. You see it on our banner when we walk in. And by the way, we're hoping to get a new one. That thing's pretty old. But we put it in our bulletins. We put it in our emails. If you're on our weekly email list, you know, one of the things you see is the stream, and you'll see the mission statement right under that. And what is that mission statement? Again, transforming lives by the power of God's Spirit, love, grace, and truth. Notice our emphasis on transformation. This, because this is what we feel God has called us to do biblically from his word. And this is what we're committed to do. And I've shared this many times with you if you've been with us for a while. If you're newer with us, then maybe this is going to be a fresh understanding for you of what I'm about to share. But what we love about our mission statement and what we feel is so consistent with Scripture with our mission statement is that our emphasis is not merely on winning people to Jesus. It's not merely evangelism. It's not merely conversion. It involves that, but even more so, it involves the process of helping people grow in a relationship with God and living that out. So the emphasis is on transformation as well in our mission statement, of that being an ongoing process. That we never sort of say, okay, I made it. I reached the finish line. Look at me. You know, hey, how about you? What mile are you on? I'm done with the marathon. You know, no, it's not that way at all. And it's more that we're all on this process continually until we're face to face with Jesus and with him in eternity. The emphasis is also on God ultimately being the one who enables this to happen. It is by the power of God's Spirit, love, grace, and truth. Notice it doesn't say by the power of Pastor Kevin. It doesn't say by the power of his sermon on Sunday morning. It doesn't say by the power of the elders of the church. It doesn't say by the power of your attendance at church, even though all of those can be hopefully good things. It doesn't say by the power of your hard effort and work. It's by the power of God's Spirit, his love, his grace, and his truth. And yes, there's a real response we make to that. But our reliance is upon the gospel of grace, the power of God, so that our faith may not rest on man or gifts or our wisdom. It's on the power of God, his Spirit, love, grace, and truth. So it's not our programs. It's not even ultimately our people. It's ultimately the power of God's Spirit, his love, his grace, and his truth. Our mission statement is biblically based. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. You've heard this before. Notice the emphasis on making disciples. A disciple is a learner. It's a follower. It's someone who's learning and following Jesus. And we're in the process of making disciples because we believe, as Jesus, these are the final words that he gave to his church. These is what he's called us to do, and to do that to the ends of the earth. Notice the emphasis on teaching to observe all that I have commanded you. There's a commitment there to the instruction and the teaching, but not only that, but the living of it out and the help that we can give to one another to help people live that out. And as I've mentioned many times before, I love the great commission, the wonderful truth that God is with us always, that Jesus is with us always through the Spirit, through his gospel, through the work of what he's doing through his word, which is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, to be with us as we go about fulfilling this mission of transforming lives by the power of God's Spirit, love, grace, and truth. Our mission statement also is directly connected to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about our spiritual service of worship, our lives being a living and holy sacrifice, and it talks about not conforming to this world, but here's our word, but be transformed. So I want you to see the biblical basis of our mission statement, that what our worship is ultimately about, it's more than singing songs, as great as that is. And I often refer to what we do in singing songs as worship, because it is indeed an expression of worship. But so is our obedience, so is our growth, so is our transformation. And I want you to see right here that directly connected to our worship is this transformation, which involves, yes, the renewal of our mind, but also the growth in godliness, the growth in Christ-like character, the growth in faithfulness, all of those things. Now, please join me in looking this morning at three truths from God's word about transformation. I want us to talk about three truths about transformation that are connected to transformation. The first is this, and I'm alluding to this already, the first is simply this, that the plan God has for his people is transformation. And I've kind of presented that already with the Great Commission and with Romans 12, but let me continue to elaborate on this. God, the plan God has for his people is transformation. Additional places in the Bible that emphasize this might be Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. He, meaning God, who began a good work in you, we'll carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. That's a process. That's a purpose of growth. It is a transformation. We are recently in a series in Colossians. There's Colossians 1, 28 and 29, where Paul more or less lays out the purpose of his ministry. He says, we proclaim him, meaning Jesus. But that's not all he said. He didn't just proclaim Jesus. He didn't just do evangelism. He did do the proclaiming of Jesus. He did do evangelism, but he didn't stop there. He took it much further. Look at what he describes it. He talks about warning, teaching, presenting people mature in Christ. That's a plan of transformation. And he does that struggling. How? With all his energy. The reliance, again, is on the power of God's Spirit, love, grace, and truth. Not reliance upon himself, not reliance upon his giftedness, not reliance upon his savvy program or his speaking abilities or any of that. The reliance was on the power of God, his energy, his power that powerfully works within me. It's the same thing as Jesus saying, I'll be with you always as you go and make disciples to the end of the age. So since this is God's goal for us, transformation, a legitimate question to ask is, how do we pursue this goal? How? Well, we need to understand that transformation, spiritual formation, growth to Christ-like maturity, and what the Bible calls sanctification, which is a word for meaning holiness and growth in holiness, that it's very much a process. It does not happen overnight. And that leads us to our second truth about transformation, simply that transformation is a process. Yet though transformation is a process, I want you to see here, transformation is a process. God causes the growth, and he uses relationships. Transformation is a process. God causes the growth, and he uses relationships. I've been going through 1 Corinthians, and I literally was in 1 Corinthians 3 this morning, and love this passage. Look at what it says right here. But I, brothers, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. These are already Christians. He calls them brothers. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. What this passage tells us, there's many things it tells us, but at the heart of what it's saying here is that growth is a process. Paul is actually confronting the Corinthians for not being as far along in that process of their transformation as he believes that they should be at this point. He's talking about, look, you know, you're behaving like spiritual babies. And you should have gone on and progressed not to drinking milk from a bottle, but you should be pressing, you should be ready for the meat and potatoes. You should be ready for greater input in your life, and you should be growing to a greater degree. You should be manifesting much more maturity. In other words, they aren't as mature as they should be at this point. And he's challenging them for not responding appropriately to the work that God has wanted to do in them and calls them to respond to, that God is committed to do to them, in them, and through them. Furthermore, this passage emphasizes that it is not the one who mentors them, pastors them, shepherds them, disciples them. It's not ultimately about who your pastor is. You know, great line I was just thinking about yesterday, and again this morning as I was in awe of an opportunity God gave me this weekend, is that, you know, there's people who can preach the gospel better than I can. They can speak better. They are more comfortable. They are more gifted. But they don't have a better gospel. They might preach it better, but they don't have a better gospel. And it's the gospel that we have. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. And I'm just delivering the mail every Sunday to you guys. And there's some people out there that you listen to online or previous church you've been to, and you're like, oh, we like him way better, because he's a better mailman than I am. And I'm okay with that. I'm going to say it right now. I'm okay with that. Okay? Amen to that. God has gifted people with various things. But you know what? The mail that we're delivering here on Sunday morning, it's pretty good. And I can assure you, the mail that we are delivering on Sunday morning, the message we are delivering, is the same good gospel, hopefully, that you've heard in other churches or other people that you listen to, if you do listen to others. The point I'm making is, look, the message, the biblical truth itself is the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, the Apostle Paul says. And so your reliance should not be on, okay, these are the people, the books that I read and the people that I listen to, and or this was the pastor, the well-known pastor of the big church, the really successful church that I came from, and that's great. But you're in this little church in Las Vegas with this everyday guy, but the message is the power of God for salvation. And it's the power of God and his truth that is going to transform you that matters the most. And so he's confronting the Corinthians for boasting, and some of them were boasting in the fact that, you know what, Paul's the guy that was shepherding me, or Apollos was the guy helping me. How about you? Oh, no, I just got some, you know, small group leader. He's not really well known. You know what? Paul's saying, that doesn't really matter. What matters is the message that you're studying. It's the word of God that you're studying. That's the big deal here. What matters most is God, who is causing the growth. Because who's ultimately causing the growth? God. It's the message more than the messenger. So spiritual growth is a process. He uses people, other servants. He uses relationships in that process. But it's ultimately God who causes the growth. Another goal that flows from the primary goal of transformation is multiplication and ministry to more and more people. So we've seen that transformation is a process. We've seen that God has a plan for his people for transformation. Our third truth today is that God, the plan God has for our transformation leads to ministry and multiplication to more and more people. God's plan for accomplishing his salvation purposes was for multiplication. And again, this multiplication that Jesus did was not just evangelism. Did you know that Jesus spent most of his time with 12 people? Most of his time with 12 people. Yes, he spoke to the masses. And some would go, you know, why did he only spend time with 12 people? I mean, he should have he should have come in a day and age with the internet. If he came in the day and age with the internet, all he had to do was, you know, type some good blogs and or do a really cool video on YouTube, and it'll just go viral, and we'd be good, right? But, you know, Jesus invested primarily not in masses, but in the 12. Let's take a look a little more at how Jesus did his ministry. Biblically, Jesus and the 12. Mark 3:14, he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. But it wasn't, again, him just sending them out just to do evangelism and just to preach. That was part of their process of being equipped to do ministry. But ultimately, he commissioned them to be disciples because, again, remember the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. He wanted them to be not just evangelists. He wanted them, more importantly, to be disciple makers. So we have this wonderful passage in 2 Timothy 2:1-2. It says this, Paul writing to someone he was discipling, someone he was mentoring, someone he invested in to an extensive degree, to a younger man, Timothy, he writes this, you then, my child, there's an affectionate term there because of the loving relationship they had. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Again, you see it's the power of God. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Do you see? He's investing. He's built this loving relationship. He's spent years in this relationship with Timothy. He didn't just say, okay, you believe, good, and go get him. It was an ongoing investment in a relationship. And he's calling Timothy to do the same. So we could diagram what's being said here in the Great Commission, and what's being said here is this. Is, for example, Paul to Timothy. In this very verse, we have really four generations. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men to others. You see? And so there's this multiplication impact here because you have Paul to Timothy, and Timothy wasn't the only guy that Paul invested in, you know? But he invested significant time to Timothy's growth, and Timothy then invested in, Paul's calling him to invest in faithful men who will then each of themselves do the same. And so you see some exponential multiplication here. But it's not just the numbers, because the depth of investment that was made resulted in godly character and the equipping with ministry skills. You see, it wasn't just, okay, they became other workers and they became other workers. The quality, not just the quality of these workers was greater because of the growth and the transformation. You see, again, and he didn't just send Timothy out right away. Timothy was with him for a while. They didn't just send these faithful men out right away. There was a process of this. And when you look at Jesus with the 12, did you know that he spent 3 years with them? 3 years. And they were with him every day. And that's Jesus. You know, and I think sometimes in the church, it's like, oh, you prayed to receive Christ, you believe now, okay, here, boom, you know. And there's a balance there, right? Because I think some people grow more quickly, and I think some people are we want them out doing ministry because that helps people to grow, and that's wonderful. But what we really need to see is the quality of Christ-like character and spiritual maturity and transformation and growth in people first. And then they need to be involved in multiplying themselves to others. And it's very much a process, and God uses people. Titus 2, in a similar way, talks about this kind of process thing happening with women. And you know, when it says, you know, the things you already touched, this is not saying this only happens with men. This happens with women as well. And Titus 2 is a place that talks about women teaching and training other women and the same kind of thing taking place. As if this is not enough, look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Love this verse, this passage. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says this, and he, meaning God through Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, if I only had that passage right there for my entire sermon, I could preach everything that I've talked about so far is embodied in those verses, isn't it? What's the purpose of the people that God has given? It's to equip the saints. It's to equip more and more people. It's not, okay, these guys are the ones just to do the work. No, the work that they're to do is to equip other people. So here's the thing. Put differently, here's my job. My job is to equip you to do the ministry. My job is not just to do the ministry. You see? It's to equip you to do the ministry. And actually, even more than I should be the one out doing the ministry, I should be investing in you. Because here's the thing. You're going to be rubbing shoulders. You're going to be high-fiving. You're going to be hanging out tomorrow with people that I don't even know and I'm never maybe ever going to come in contact with. Now, the cool thing is God gives me a sphere of influence, and I do actually do a ministry with people out there in the world too, and that's great. But the most strategic, most effective way for us to impact the kingdom of God is for us to shepherd you, for this church to help you grow, to equip you, to help you mature to the maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that you accurately reflect and consistently live out a relationship with God so that you're a positive witness, not what I would call a negative witness. Not that you're, yeah, you know, I follow Jesus and you're living completely inconsistently with that. We're to help you to grow and reflect that, but we're to equip you to actually do this stuff. You know, I would love this small room of however many people are here today, and it seems small and insignificant, but if you are all discipling one or two people and pouring your lives into that, and then they started doing one or two people, and the quality is high, I'm talking about fully sold out, completely committed Christians, mature in Christ, we're going to change the world. This very room's going to change the world. And you know, sometimes I think, you know, oh, this little church, you know, God's just not using us like the church down the street or whatever. God is doing things that I think, God's already done things through this church that I think when we're in heaven, we're just going to be, oh my gosh, I never knew. I never knew, Lord, how you, and already in the history of this church, we have people in all over. They've been equipped, they've been blessed, they've grown here, and God's moved them on elsewhere, but God's using them. And it's really cool to think about. And we don't know the impact of the seeds that we're planting on the people that we come in contact with. and the way that your life and your ministry can impact someone else. Even if that someone else is the person sitting next to you, or the person in your house group, or the person in your women's group, or the person in the men's breakfast, how that's helping them grow, and how them more fully being committed to Christ is going to have an impact on other people. The role is equipping. The goal is transformation to maturity, even to the fullness of Christ. This is Christ-like transformation, completely consistent with what Scripture teaches and what we believe God's called us to do. So, that's God's purpose and God's plan. And I want to use the rest of the time this morning to talk to you about some ways that our church wants to help. We want to help you. And I hope you have a vision, and I hope you're dreaming. I hope the Lord's laying on your heart like this thirst for that. I want that. God, I want to grow more. I would love to get to a point where you can use me more in the lives of others. Or, God, I know you're already using me in the lives of others, but I would sure like to see more fruit from that. I would sure like to see my life help others grow more and more. And I'd like to see maybe the people that I'm helping, I'd like to see them get to a point where they're helping other people more and more. How? Well, here at The Stream, we want to help. And I've titled our message this morning, Watershed, because watershed is, and let me be very clear, watershed is not a program, okay? There are some things within watershed that are like a program, yes. Watershed is the name that we give to our philosophy of ministry. Watershed is the name that we give to this process of ongoing transformation and spiritual growth. Okay? And we believe that that is a process that happens over time by the power of God's Spirit, love, grace, and truth. Now, how God works through that process, and even what books you read or what Bible studies you do, are so secondary to the fact that we believe that there's a process. Do you see? And I think, and maybe this is my fault in the way I've communicated, but I think over the years, sometimes when we presented Watershed, people think, oh, well, that's just this program. And that's good, but I want to do this program instead. You're missing the point. And if you're missing the point, that's on me, I guess, because I haven't communicated that clearly. But Watershed is less about you going through the exact resources that we might provide for you, though we do have some, and I'll share some of those with you in a moment. It's more about, are you progressing in a process of spiritual transformation? So let me explain more and walk you through some of this. What is Watershed? Well, here's just an explanation of just the name and what the name itself means. Literally, a watershed is a region of land within which water flows down into a specified body, such as a river, lake, sea, or ocean, a drainage basin. Like, I didn't come for a geology class, Kevin. That's not really, I just want to show you this metaphor, the metaphor. It's just a metaphor. It's just a name for what we've called it. But the term watershed also can refer more figuratively, perhaps, to, and I quote, a critical point marking a change in course or development. And I like that, a critical point marking a change in course or development. And people use the term watershed in this way sometimes to say, hey, that was a watershed moment in my life. They'll sometimes use this term to refer to a very pivotal event, a very significant or life-changing event. They'll use it to refer to something that was transformational. But again, by watershed, we're not referring to just one event. We're referring to a process. What we're saying is we want your relationship with God and this process of transformation to be this watershed experience for you, this life-changing experience, because we believe biblically God wants transformation to be an ongoing process and life-changing experience for you. So watershed, yes, the metaphor fits with our name, The Stream. It does, and it lines up with that metaphor. It fits with, but more importantly, it fits with our mission statement. More importantly, it fits with what biblically speaking we feel God's called us to do in the Great Commission and what he's called us to be as a church. So let me break down for you what are some things available for you within Watershed and how we want to help you, experience this spiritual transformation process more and more in your life. And again, this came out of prayer, out of studying Scripture, out of some of the things I presented to you this morning. And what we've developed in this process is a four-stage process that's relationally driven. And so imagine that we are journeying down a stream, this metaphor. And the first stage of a stream is often referred to as the source, where that stream starts. Where's the source of it? And like the source of a stream, the formation of water in a watershed, the water and the stream starts forming somewhere. Maybe that's a spring, maybe that's a pool of water, in which it starts to come together. And what kinds of things are we thinking about here in this process of spiritual transformation? Well, what we're saying in stage one is, just like Jesus with the disciples, initially he said, come and see. Right? He invited them to come follow him, come and see, come, you know, kind of check it out. And they began following him. But early on, what you see in the ministry of Jesus is so much of probably that whole first year of his time with them, they were discovering who he is. They were watching him, they were observing him, they were listening to his teaching, they were understanding who he is. And so we believe that early on in this spiritual process of your transformation, what you really need to grasp are things like the attributes of God. You need to really get a grasp of who God really is. We also believe in this early stages that what you really need to understand is, how do I really study and learn about who God is? How do I start to have what we call a quiet time or a devotion or time with God in which I start to grow and learn? And am I at a point where I am consistent and faithful in developing a spiritual discipline, if you will, in my life of spending time with the Word of God and in prayer? So these would be some things emphasized in stage one. And again, we have some resources to help you in that stage. But again, the resources are secondary to this actually happen. Some other things that go on in this first stage of what we have available to you is, so let me walk you through all of these. We have a handout on the gospel, because really what is absolutely necessary at the very beginning is that you're crystal clear on the gospel, that you understand what it is, you believe it, you've received it. You understand how the gospel impacts your daily life. We often talk about living a gospel-centered life or a Christ-centered life here at the Stream, and there's all kinds of implications that the gospel has for your daily life, and we try to teach you those. But the gospel handout is really a resource we provide for you. It's just a 2-page handout that we provide to you that just walks you through and gives you clarity on what the gospel is. That gospel being the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins and rose again from the dead. We have a series of studies available to you. We are called Knowing God Studies. And again, I've commented on this. And we have some Growing Spiritually studies that talk about progressing and growing in this relationship with God. Now again, these resources are good. They are helpful. I would love for you to go through them. But more importantly, I want you to grasp what these resources provide. We have some resources such as Christian Beliefs, which is a book that is helpful. And we have a devotional that I have actually written probably 13, 14 years ago now, but is actually based upon the values that we have of our church. We call those values Streams of Water. That devotional is actually out on the table. That's just a display copy, and it's old and beat up, so don't mind the cover. But the content in there, it's a 40-day devotional. If you have not gone through that 40-day devotional, let me encourage you to do so. It will help you grasp the biblical basis for what is important to us here at the Stream, our mission statement and our Streams of Water core values. Those core values, again, are the centrality of God's Word, passionate spirituality, loving relationships, outreach, disciple-making, and mercy ministries. And it walks you through what those things mean and how they might apply to your life. The goal here is to begin and continue this process of growth, but really you could say laying a solid foundation to build upon, developing consistency in your life and a proper understanding of who God is. Then we come to stage two, what we call convergence. And convergence is a metaphor for the converging of streams into a larger stream. And what we're emphasizing here in this stage is the process of growth of building healthy relationships. You know, as Jesus started to gather the 12, he brought them together as a family. And they had their bumps at times, didn't they? You know, at times of even bickering a little bit, and they had to work through conflict, they had to learn to love one another, but they were a loving community within the 12. And of course, that community expanded at times. There was the 70 later. But the idea here is understanding the purpose of the church, understanding what it means to be in healthy relationships, and the importance of the body of Christ and biblical community. These are things that we believe are important to emphasize early on in the Christian life. as we go to stage three, now a person has reached a certain level of maturity where they are ready to start learning how can they start to help other people, okay? But again, we don't want people kind of out doing a lot of ministry if they haven't really grasped who God is yet, or they haven't really developed consistency in a devotional life or a consistent understanding of how healthy relationships work, you see? Because they're not going to effectively do ministry very well. In fact, they sometimes can cause more problems than do good. But it's at this stage where after a period of time and growth and understanding and consistency in their life, they're becoming equipped and learning to do ministry to others. So at this phase, what we like to teach you about are how do you share the gospel with other people? How do you share your testimony and the story of what God's done in your life? How do you perhaps lead a house group or a small group? How would you mentor one-on-one? How would you shepherd someone else? How would you disciple, there's another word that we use, someone else? How would you start to help someone else grow? And so in this stage, we have various resources here. We have some things to help prepare you to always be ready to give an account of the hope that's in you. We have a series of some questions that non-Christians commonly ask. And we try to help you prepare answers to those common questions that people might ask so that you can be ready to give an account of the hope that's in you. We solidify your understanding of the gospel and help you to learn how to share that with others and share the story of what God's done in your life and start to lead others. We also like to emphasize in this stage the ongoing importance of biblical priorities. So a great resource, for example, that I suggest in this stage, and notice I said suggest. If you have another resource that hits this priority, we encourage that. But a great book, for example, is John Piper's Don't Waste Your Life or Jerry Bridges' The Pursuit of Holiness, continuing to emphasize priorities and Christ-like character. We also, in this stage, not that we aren't considering this earlier, what spiritual warfare is, but spiritual warfare becomes even more significant importance, in my opinion, as you start going on the offense and doing ministry, you tend to get shot at. And believe me, I see it, I experience it, it's real. And we don't want to be unaware of the enemy's work. And so we have some lessons and some lectures that you can listen to in this stage to help your understanding of that and prepare you for that. And then lastly, we have stage four. And stage four is really a stage that is always being developed. And this is really where we specifically hone in on what your giftedness might be, what your area of ministry might be. And so we're going to have some people that are going to emphasize probably a little more in the area of perhaps leading a small group, or some may emphasize a little more in family ministry and ministering to children, or some may emphasize a little more in the area of evangelism than others, or some may emphasize more in the area of counseling, or some may emphasize a little more in the area of ministry to the poor or service certain areas, or some may emphasize a little more on mission in the sense of perhaps overseas, as well as locally. But so this is where we sort of get a little more specific. And so if I could just use Scott as an example, I mean, really where Scott's at is his primary, one of his primary ministries is leading worship. So, you know, his growth and development, though it involves many other aspects too, one aspect of that God's had him and is using him in right now, a big part of his ministry is the development of our worship team and preparing his heart and preparing our hearts, helping prepare our hearts and help us go into the worship with singing Sunday in and Sunday out. And I have witnessed his growth and transformation over the years of him actually doing it. And that's a cool thing. As you start to do ministry, you tend to grow the most as you start to do it. And so what we do is we sort of interact with you. We are available to talk with you about what are some things that God is leading you to do in terms of ministry and what that might look like. And we try to equip you further in this stage. Okay? So here's the point again. It's a process. Now, we have some specific resources available in each of these stages for you. And the reason we did that was we wanted to give you some options and some guidance. Okay? And so what we have provided for you, and there are some of these out at the table, is some little bookmarks that are just kind of lays out for you what is in each stage. These, you know, can be put up on your refrigerator or in your Bible or whatever. If you do all your Bible reading off your phone, then, you know, maybe you just want to keep this somewhere. And if you want this, great. You don't have to have a bookmark, though, because we deliver to you all the resources in almost every case digitally. So in the day and age of email, what you do is you just email me, and I email you the layout of what's in a certain stage with the resources that we have provided in those stages. But again, there's some flexibility with resources that you do. Now, one of the benefits of doing our resources, though, and one of the visions, again, for why we've provided this, is once you complete those resources, surprise, 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 we want you to be able to do those things with somebody else. And you'll be very familiar with those resources. So if you've gone through the 10 Knowing God studies and you've have some grasp and understanding of how what God taught you through that, it's actually pretty easy to walk your children, your teenagers, or your neighbor, your coworker, who you're helping to grow in his or her relationship with God because you've gone through those. You see? So it's very transferable, and that's what's cool. But again, if there's, you know, if you came to me and said, you know what, you know, I want to meet with this person and we really want to study through this book of the Bible, yeah, that fits. As long as that fits within this process, that study, that book of the Bible is really, really good about the attributes of God and knowing God. And we're really going to focus on how to have a quiet time and how to pray and who God is. That's wonderful. And you can do that. You're part of the watershed process, whether you use these resources or not. Do you see? Now, it's still beneficial, I would say, to go through some of our resources because, again, you can use them. So that's the point, okay? Now, a little more specifics here. Going through these resources, you can do these as part of your devotional life. You know, as you're looking ahead in 2017, maybe you have some plans for your devotional life, your ongoing study. You can do these just yourself. You can get them from me and do them. But even more ideally would be that you could join in with someone else. You know, more ideally, maybe a few people in your house group, you know, are going through this together. Or you're doing this with someone in your family or someone that you get together with in the church. So I'm going to use David, our drummer, as an example. When David was a freshman at UNLV, we started meeting. And probably about once a week, every couple weeks or so, I would go up to UNLV campus, and we would sit down for about an hour and a half, and we started going through stage one. And after about 9 months or so, we started to go through stage two. And by the time he was a junior, third year, we're in stage three. And his final year, you know, final couple years of him being a student, we were doing stage four kind of things. Some of you might know this. David's been a missionary to Thailand, and he happened to meet a very lovely lady and get married because he became equipped to go on a mission trip, and it led to meeting the woman of his dreams. And now he's married, and now he's going back and doing more mission work and offering to take any of you that would like to go with him. It's kind of cool. I share that example not to glorify David or glorify me, but to glorify God at the spiritual process of growth that took place over the years. And David has been doing ministry in a number of ways. That's just one example. Him going on a mission trip is just one example. And there were some weeks we missed, and there were times when we didn't even talk about the materials. I mean, there's many a meeting that we had where we just talk about what's going on in our lives and praying for each other. But we had a general trajectory, you see. And the actual resources that we used were less important than the process. Let's focus on understanding God. Let's focus on relationships. Let's focus now on how do we learn about doing ministry to others, Now let's focus on what areas of ministry is God leading you to do, and how can we help one another keep growing in those things, and how can we actually do those things? You see? So Jesus did something similar with the 12. They followed him. They learned about who he is. He started to send them out to do ministry. He debriefed with them. He helped them evaluate what they had done. And more, it was, you know, them doing more and Jesus sending them out a little more independently, to the point where then after he goes to the cross, he sends the Holy Spirit. He says, okay, go get them. But he's not with you always to the end of the age. But now they had reached a point of being spiritual leaders where now the 12 went out and changed the world. And here we are in Las Vegas because of the ministry of the 12 and the work of the Holy Spirit. Just so you know, we're going to tell you now, the elders have already decided, we're going to be in Joel for about 6 weeks and then we're going to Acts. And we'll be in Acts for a good year. And we're going to rock and roll looking at what God has done through those 12 and how the church exploded and how God used people for the furtherance of his kingdom and how the impact of the gospel and impacted the world and is still impacting the world today. I think it's going to be very exciting. So here's what we want to encourage you to do. Number one is to prayerfully understand this process biblically. And two, prayerfully pursue this process. And three, follow some sort of plan. And we would love for you to do the plan that we've provided. If you're interested in actually doing some of the resources that we have and going through some of the things that we've designed for you in these different stages, all you need to do is email me, okay? In fact, I think what I'm going to encourage you to do, if it's on your heart right now, is to go ahead and send me a text right now, 702-326-1642. And in that text, you can include your email. Or if you'd rather email me, that would be easy. You can email me, kevin@thestream.us. It's in your bulletin. kevin@thestream, one word, .us is in United States. Send me Watershed 1 or 2 or 3, whatever you want. And I'll start sending it your way, and you can get started and do that. You can do it in your families, with your friends, and on your own. And as you go through that, we encourage you to touch base with any of us, us being any of the leaders in this church. We would help you in that process and help you to continue growing. I'd like to share a few comments, including some additional research from people who write books about churches and ministry that just sort of backs up some of the things that we're doing here. Some research reported in the book Simple Church states this: churches with a simple process for reaching and maturing people are expanding the kingdom. Church leaders who have designed a simple biblical process to make disciples are effectively advancing the movement of the gospel. Vibrant and growing churches had a clear process for discipleship. They were streamlined and simple, no pun intended. Conversely, the opposite, struggling churches had no real clear process. The congregation wasn't really aware of any process of spiritual growth or transformation taking place. There is a highly significant relationship between a simple church design and the growth and vitality of a local church. And again, we're not talking merely numbers. We're talking qualitative Christ-like character. In another book, great book called The Trellis and the Vine, the writers suggest the following needed paradigm shifts for the church today. They suggest a change of ministry philosophy that needs to occur in churches. This change in ministry philosophy is one from running programs to building people. It's not about the programs, it's about building the people. From running events to training people. Now look, programs and events are fine and dandy. I'm looking forward to the ski trip. But more importantly, it's about building people, training people. From filling gaps, okay, we need somebody here, we need somebody there, to training workers. From solving problems to helping people make progress. From clinging to ordained ministry, meaning ordained ministry is the one who does most of the work, to developing team leadership. From engaging in management to engaging in ministry. From seeking church growth to desiring and seeing gospel growth. Amen to that, huh? So our mission statement, again, emphasizes these kinds of things. But we need God's help to implement this. So we need your prayers, and we want to encourage your participation. to help us implement this and to help us pursue this process of growth that we believe biblically God has in store. So how can you participate? Feel free to, again, send me a text, send me an email, and I'll get that to you sometime this week, okay? And you can get going on it. But again, our goal is your personal transformation, and with your personal transformation, our transformation more and more collectively as a body here at The Stream. We believe it's biblical, and we want it to be a watershed experience for you. So God bless you, and let's pray. Lord, we pray that the good work you've begun in us, that you would carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. We ask that 2017 would be one of the greatest years of our spiritual growth, that we would go for the things that you have in store, and by your grace, by the power of your Spirit, love, grace, and truth, we would see our lives transformed to more fully reflect you, to more fully reflect Christ-like maturity, and to more fully be equipped to love and help and serve others, to help others grow. God, thank you for each person in this church. Thank you for the ways that we can help one another to grow together. And thank you for the ways that you could use the people in this very room to impact the kingdom of God in ways that we might not ever realize until we're with you in eternity. So God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please, as we close in a song?